B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun Hei. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third of the way down from Daf Nun Hei Omed Aleph. We saw at the beginning of the Perek, and that's how this Perek started, Mokim Shenoagu, that whether one is allowed to do Melachas and Erev Pesach in the morning is dependent on custom, on the minig. Mokim Shenoagu lasis melocha ba'arvi Psachim ad chatzois oisin. Mokim Shenoagu shaloi lasis ein oisin. And then we had a number of other Mishnayos which were discussing unrelated customs. And now we're going back to the custom of doing or not doing melachos on Erev Pesach in the morning. Says the Mishnah, V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, B'Yehuda, and we've already seen that Eretz Yisrael was split up into a number of lands, primarily Yehuda and Golil. So the Chachomim say that in the place of called Yehuda, B'Yehuda, hoyoisin melocha ba'arvi psachim ad chatzos, they would do melochas on Erev Pesach in the morning. U'begolil, loy hoyoisin kol ikur, but in the Golil they would not do melochas at all on Erev Pesach already from the morning. And the very fact that from the Chachomim you see that it depends on different places, we assume that it's to do with custom, not with law. Customs change from place to place, laws don't usually. Halaylo, regarding the night of the 14th, the night that we are supposed to be doing Bedikas Chometz, Bishamai Oisrim, Bishamai say it's also to do Melochus, or Bishilil Matirim, and Bishilil say you are allowed to do Melochus Ada Neitzachamo until the end of the night, which is Neitzachamo. And from the final statement here, where it just says Bishamai Oisrim and doesn't tell us it's dependent on the different places and different customs, it seems to be that the final statement that regarding the night of the 14th, it seems to be a discussion regarding law, not custom. And the Gemara is about to address that, says the Gemara, Meikora Tonam in Hoga. How do we supposed to understand that the opening statement of the Mishnah, the Chachomim, who say that it's dependent on different places, Yehuda and Golil, it seems to be dependent on custom, Ulebesayf Toni Yisura. But the final statement in the Mishnah seems to be discussing prohibitions and laws, not customs, and therefore they are the same across the board, Bishamai say Osir, Bishilil say Mutar. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan lo ikashya, ho Rabbi Meir, ho Rabbi Yehuda. That the Mishnah is actually two different opinions. The first part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who says that not doing melachos on Erev Pesach is dependent on custom. And the second part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's dependent on law, not on custom. Let's see the Braisa inside. Titania, we saw in the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Bi Yehuda ho yoisin melocha ba'arvi psochim ad chatzis. In the place called Yehuda, they would do melachos on Erev Pesach till Chatzos, u'begolil einon oisin kol ikar, but in the Golil, they would not do melachos at all in the morning. Omar lo Rab Meir said to Rab Yehuda, ma raya Yehuda v'golil lekan, why are you trying to bring the what they did in Yehuda or Golil to what we are supposed to be doing? It's dependent on the custom. You can't say there's a single law that applies there, so it applies here as well. See what the custom is. If the custom was to do melachos, you're allowed to do melachos. If the custom was not to do melachos, you cannot do melachos. Why? What are you trying to prove by quoting Yehuda and Golil? So the Gemara says, from that braisa, midakomer Rab Meir min hoga, since the response Rab Meir had to Rab Yehuda was that it's dependent on custom, not on law, michlal we can deduce from there, the Rab Yehuda isura komer. The Rab Yehuda indeed held that doing melachos or not doing melachos on Erev Pesach is not dependent on custom, it's dependent on law. And indeed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the place called Yehuda, they held that the law, not the custom, the halacha was that oisin melacha. And in the Golil, they held that the halacha was that you don't do melachas on Erev Pesach, but not that it was dependent on custom. So the same will be our Mishnah. The opening statement in the Mishnah will be Reb Meir, who says it's dependent on custom, not on law. And the second statement in the Mishnah, where it seems that it's like across the board, either Asa or Muta, that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's dependent on law, not custom. Asks the Gemara, Vasova Rabbi Yehuda, Arba, Asa or Muta, Basias Melocha? Does Rabbi, can it possibly be that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the place of Yehuda, they held it was mutar, it was permitted to do Melochas on the 14th of Nisan in the morning? V'otanya, this seems to contradict a brisa where Rabbi Yehuda seems to say otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Hamenachish, if somebody is weeding his field, B'shleisha also on the 13th of Nisan, not the 14th of Nisan, on the 13th of Nisan, V'nekro b'yodoi, and he uprooted some ears of grain, then shoisla b'mokim hatit, he should replant it in a place of moist earth, in a place where it can re-root quickly. V'ein shoisla b'mokim hagrid, he should not replant them in the grid, which is a very dry place, where it takes much longer for these grains to re-root. And what's the issue here? We know that any grains that are rooted before they bring the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, then after the Korban Omer is brought, it's called Yoshon, and those grains are allowed to be eaten. Anything that got rooted after the 16th of Nisan is called Chodosh, and may only be consumed the following year after the 16th of Nisan. So over here, we're talking about the 13th of Nisan, so, and Rabbi Yehuda says that make sure that you replant these ears of grain in a place where it's moist earth, so it can re-root before the 16th of Nisan. And Rabbi Yehuda holds and that it takes 3 days to re-root. It doesn't need to be three whole days. It can be even part days, we'll soon see. But if it's 3 days, it can re-root. So we're now on the 13th of Nisan. So if you re-root it on the 13th, then you've got the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th, it will become mutar. B'shleisha also in, from the braisa it's apparent that only on the 13th you can replant it and it's okay. Barba osar loy, but not on the 14th. So what do we see from there? Well, it seems to be from there that on the 14th of Nisan, you're not allowed to do melachas. Otherwise, the braisa would be talking about the 14th and the same halacha would apply. Why would the same halacha apply? Because even if you replanted these grains on the 14th, you'd have part of the 14th, the whole 15th, and part of the 16th. That's enough for it to re-root. And the same halacha would apply. Quickly plant it in moist earth, even on the 14th, and it will become mutar on the 16th. So why is he talking about the 13th? It must be that on the 14th, you're not allowed to do melachas. And this is contrary to what we saw before. Rabbi Yehuda said that in the place of Yehuda, you're allowed to do melachas on the 14th. Mechta shaminon leila Rabbi Yehuda. We know that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Da Omar, he says, Kol harkova she'eino kiletes l'shleishes yomim, shuv eino kiletes. Anything that you plant that hasn't re-rooted within 3 days will not re-root. It will not become rooted at all. That means it takes 3 days and then it's re-rooted. Why in Mokim Agrid is different, Tosfos discusses that. And the Gemara says, V'yisal kedai tochar ba'osor mutar b'asiyas melacha, if you, Rabbi Yehuda, hold that in the place called Yehuda, you're allowed to do melachos on the 14th of Nisan. Lomo lishleisha osor, why is the braisa only talking about somebody who's doing weeding on the 13th of Nisan? V'hoika arba'esrei v'chameser u'miktsas shisar. Even if this incident happens on the 14th, you've got part of the 14th, the 15th, and part of the 16th, you've got your 3 days. So it's obviously apparent from the braisa that you're not allowed to do melachos on the 14th, contrary to what we saw before. Omar Rava says you're right. In the place of Yehuda, this could have happened on the 14th. Begolil Shonu, this braisa, this incident that's talking about the 13th, is talking about in the Golil. And in Golil, they held that one's not allowed to do melachos on Erev Pesach. Ask the Gemara, V'ho'ikalelia. Even in Golil, they only held that during the day, in the morning of the 14th, you're not allowed to do melachos. In the night of the 14th, they hold you are allowed to do melachos. So why is the braisa talking about the 13th? Talk about the night of the 14th. And then you've got the 14th, the 15th, and part of the 16th, you've got your 3 days. Omer of Sheshes k'Beis Shammai. If Sheshes says that braisa is obviously following Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai says in our Mishnah that the night of the 14th is just as osa as the day of the 14th. And if in Golil they didn't do melachos in the day, neither did they do melachos in the night. Ravashi Omar, lo ilum k'Beis Hillel. Rabashi says it could even be following Bishillel. And the reason that the Braisa there chose to speak about the day of the 13th and not the night of the 14th, lefishein darkon shel bnei adam lenachish balaylo. It's not common practice to weed one's fields in the night. Ravina omar le'olam b'Yehuda. Ravina takes a different approach and says we could even be talking about the place called Yehuda. And in the place of Yehuda, indeed, one was allowed to do melachos on the day, on the morning of the 14th of Nisan. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda says that it takes 3 days in order for anything grafted to become rooted. And we also know that it doesn't need to be 3 full days. Part day is enough, is considered a full day. And if so, the question arises, why does the Braisa speak about the 13th and not the 14th? Because he says, Uba Hashrasha, regarding the rerooting of a grain, Chad miktas hayem kekuloi amrinon, tre miktas hayem kekuloi lo amrinon. You have to have at least 2 full days. The third day can be just part of a day. And since the 16th of Nisan is just part of the day until they bring the korban oimer, which allows them to the old produce to become permitted, you need to have the entire 15th and the entire 14th for Hashrosha, for the rerouting to take place. But if on the 14th it's also not a full day, because you only rerouted it on the 14th, then you only have part of the 14th and part of the 16th, and just 1 full day, the 15th in the middle, that does not suffice. And that's why the Braisa said that the incident has to happen on the 13th of Nisan in order for it to become mutar on the 16th of Nisan, when the korban is shechted. Continues the next Mishnah. Reb Meir Oimer Kol Malacha Shehischil Bo Koidem L'Arba Osar Goimro B'Arba Osar. It means we know that there's a custom that there are places where it's also to do malachas and places where it's mutter to do malachas on Erev Pesach in the morning. Those places that it's mutter to do malachas, that's fine, you can do any malachas you want. Those places that it's also to do malachas, however, that is wavered somewhat, that the prohibition to, that means the requirement to follow a custom not to do malachas on Erev Pesach in the morning has its limitations, and certain things are mutter. So Rav Meir says in the Mishnah that any malacha that you started before the 14th of Nisan, goimro b'arba asur, you're allowed to complete it on the 14th in the morning. Avalo yaschel bo b'tchilo b'arba asur, but you're not allowed to start, obviously in a place where one's not allowed to do malachas in the morning, you're not allowed to start a new work, a new activity. Afal pish yochel goimro, even though it's possible, time-wise, it would be possible for him to finish the melacha, he's not allowed to start that new melacha. That's Reb Meir. V'chachomim oimrim. The chachomim say, Gimel umniyos oisin melacha be'erev Pesach ad chatzos. There are 3 crafts that even in places where the custom was not to do melachas on erev Pesach in the morning, these 3 crafts were allowed. Because the custom and the requirement to follow the custom that on Erev Pesach in the morning one doesn't do melachas is even lenient, even more lenient than the issa to do work on Chol HaMoed. And anything that is allowed on Chol HaMoed, even just in certain circumstances, is completely allowed on Erev Pesach in the morning, on the morning of the 14th. Ve'eluhein, and the 3 crafts are as follows. Hachayotim, the tailors, v'asaporim, the barbers, v'akoivsim, and the launderers. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda oimer afrat onim. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says even those that make new shoes are also allowed to make shoes on the morning of the 14th of Nisan. Says the Gemara, Iboyeluhu. The Gemara is going to ask a question. Now, in the Mishnah, all we saw was that Reb Meir said there's a difference between starting a melacha on Erev Pesach in the morning and finishing it. And says that you're only allowed to finish a work, that means assuming that the custom is not to do melachas on Erev Pesach in the morning, finishing a job is permitted, starting a job is not permitted. And the Gemara is now going to ask, is that always true? Could it be that there are situations where one's always allowed to even start a job? And could it be there are situations that you're not even allowed to finish a job? And what's going to be the determining factor? And this is something called Letzeirich Hamoyed. Is it something you need for Yom Tov? And we know that the halachas of Erev Pesach mourning are more lenient or compared to the halachas of working on Chol HaMoed. And we know that there's a concept that L'tzairich HaMoed, if you need this particular activity to be done for the sake of the Yom Tov, then on Chol HaMoed it's allowed. So could it be that the whole Mishnah is only talking about Tzairich HaMoed when it's not Tzairich HaMoed, you're not even allowed to finish work? Could it be that the whole Mishnah is talking about when it's Shelloi L'Tzairich HaMoed, but when it's Tzairich HaMoed, you're even allowed to start an activity? Or could it be that it doesn't matter whether it's Tzairich HaMoed or Loi Tzairich HaMoed, the Mishnah is always the same rule, that one's allowed to finish, one's not allowed to start? Those are going to be the three options in the Gemara. Iboi Elohu, L'Tzairich HaMoed Tnan. That's what the first option. The first option is that the Mishnah that says that you're only allowed to do work which is finishing an activity but not start an activity is only if it's Tzairich HaMoed, if the Yom Tov needs it. Aval Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, if it's not for the sake of the Yom Tov, Afilo Migmar Namiloi, he's not even allowed to finish the work. Oy Dilma, the second option, Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed Nan, the Mishnah is only talking about when it's Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, in that case you're allowed to finish a job, you're not allowed to start a job. Av L'Tzairich, but if the Yom Tov needs it, Aschulei Maschelinon, not only are you allowed to finish a job, you're also allowed to start a job. Oy Dilma, the third option is Bein L'Tzairich HaMoed, Bein Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, it doesn't matter whether it's Tzairich HaMoed or not Tzairich HaMoed, Migmar In Aschulei Loi. He's only allowed to finish the work, he's not allowed to start the job. Those are the three options in the Gemara, and we're actually going to see that the middle option, that the Mishnah is only talking about Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, but L'Tzairich HaMoed, it's mutter even to start, that option is actually not going to come up in the Gemara at all. The Gemara is going to discuss whether we have proof to the first option, that L'Tzairich HaMoed is what the Mishnah is talking about, and Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, it's also even to just finish. Or the third option, that it doesn't matter whether it's L'Tzairich or Shelei L'Tzairich, one's allowed to finish and not allowed to start. Let's see the proofs inside. Says the Gemara, Toshima, Avoloi Yaschil Bitchilo Ba'arba Osor. You're not allowed to start doing a job on the 14th in the morning. Afilu, even Tziltzul Cotton, to make a small belt. Afilu Shovchok Tano, or even to make a small hairnet. Ask the Gemara, my afilu, why is the Braisa saying even these things you're not allowed to do? Lav, can we not assume that the Braisa is trying to impress on us afilu hanoch, even these de L'Tzairich HaMoed, that these are very clearly things that you need for Yom Tov, a belt, a hair net is something you're going to use for Yom Tov, and nonetheless migmar in, you're allowed to finish it because the Braisa says loy aschil, aschulei loy, you're not allowed to start making them. If you started before, you can finish it in the morning of the 14th of Nisan. Michlal, and we can deduce from there the Shelei L'Tzairich, that only because it's a Tzairich Yom Tov, that's why you're allowed to finish and not start. But if it's Shelei L'Tzairich, Migmar Nami Loi Gomrinon, you're not even allowed to finish making such a belt or such a, I mean, the belt would be L'Tzairich HaMoed, but something that wouldn't be L'Tzairich HaMoed, you're not even allowed to finish doing it. And that's like the first option, that the Mishnah is only talking about L'Tzairich HaMoed. Says the Gemara, loy, don't bring proof from there. La'olam de'shelo'i L'Tzairich migmar nami gomrinon. The truth is that even if it's not L'Tzairich HaMoed, you're allowed to finish, you're not allowed to start. Umay afilu, so why is the Braisa impressing on us that even the small belt, so the small hairnet, which is L'Tzairich HaMoed, the afilu hani, even these, nami, the zutraninu, that they're very small, relatively insignificant jobs. The Salkadai Techamina, I may have thought, Haschaloson Zuigmar Malachton, that it's such a quick and easy job that starting it is finishing it. It's almost the same act, and therefore it should even be permitted to start it. Naschil Buhunami Lekatchila, Komash Malon, that's what the Bryce is telling us. No, even these relatively easy jobs, it's also L'Tzairich HaMoed, and also relatively small jobs, and we may have thought you're allowed to start and immediately finish it on Erev Pesach. In the morning, Komash Malon, says the Braisa, even in this case, you're allowed to finish them, you're not allowed to start them. But not to the exclusion of those things that are Shelei L'Tzairich HaMoed, and even they, one is allowed to finish them and not allowed to start them. Toshima, the Gemara is going to try and bring another proof. Reb Meir Oimer, Kol Melocha Shehi L'Tzorech HaMoed, any activity, any melocha, which is L'Tzorech HaMoed, I need it for Yom Tov, Goimra, you can finish doing it, but Arba Asar on the 14th, Amos, I when, Bizman Shehizchil Ba, Koidim Arba Asar, on condition that you started doing this activity and working on this melacha before the 14th. Aval lo yischil ba koidim arba asar. If you didn't start before the 14th, lo yaschil ba arba asar. Don't start on the 14th. Afilu tziltzul cotton, even this small belt, afilu shav choktano, and even this small hairnet. So what do we see clearly? Reb Meir says, letzeirich hamoyed in, sheloi letzeirich hamoyed loi. Only because it's Tzeirich HaMoed, you're allowed to finish. But in the event that it would be something which is Sheloi L'Tzeirich HaMoed, it would be Osar even to finish it, like the first option we had before. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof. Hu hadin da'afilu Sheloi L'Tzeirich Nami Gomrinon, even if it's not L'Tzeirich HaMoed, you're allowed to finish off an activity on Erev Pesach in the morning, even in a place where other work is osur on Erev Pesach in the morning. The chiddush of this statement was da'afilu L'Tzeirich HaMoed, even if it's L'Tzeirich HaMoed, I may have thought that you're even allowed to start working on it. It's coming to teach us, Migmar, in, you're only allowed to finish working with it, Aschule Eloi, but you're not allowed to start with it. Says the Gemara Toshma, we're going to bring another proof. Reb Meir Oimer, Kol Malocha Shi L'Tzeirich HaMoed, any Malocha which you need for Yom Tov, Goyim Rabar Ba'asar, you're allowed to finish doing it on the 14th in the morning. It means even in a place where the custom was not to do Malochas, but if you're just finishing it, and it's L'Tzeirich HaMoed, then you're allowed to finish it. V'she'ein ol tzeirich hamoed, but if it's not for the tzeirich hamoed, osur it's osur. And this is clearly like the first the option in the Gemara before, that the Mishnah that says that you're allowed to finish and not allowed to start is only tzeirich hamoed. But if it's sheloi tzeirich hamoed, you're not even allowed to finish off an activity. And that's, we have proof from here. Unless you're in a place where the custom was to do any melacha on Erev Pesach in the morning, then you can do what you want. You can start and finish any melacha. But mokim shenoagu in, loy noagu loy. If the custom was to do melachas, you can do melachas. If the custom is not to do melachas, you cannot do melachas, unless it's also l'tzeirich hamoed, and also that you're just finishing the activity and not starting it. Ushma mino, you see from here, l'tzeirich hamoed in, that you're allowed to finish something if it's l'tzeirich hamoed, sheloi l'tzeirich hamoed loy, but if it's not for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. Ushma mino, we have proof like the first option that the Gemara had in its question. Continues the Gemara, v'chachomim oimrim sholosh umnios, that we saw in the Gemara, in the Mishnah before, that the Chachomim say there are three different types of crafts, that even in a place where one's not allowed to do work, the custom was not to do work on Erev Pesach in the morning, these three things, since on Chol HaMoed, where the halachas are more stringent than Erev Pesach in the morning, they are allowed in some circumstances. In Erev Pesach in the morning, it will be allowed under all circumstances. What are these three crafts? Hachayotim, the tailors, Hasaporim, the barbers, Vakivsin, and the launderers. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Imer Afrat Onim. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says you're even allowed to go and have new shoes made on Erev Pesach in the morning. Says the Gemara, Tona. Hachayotim, the tailors, Shekein Hedyot Teifer Kedarkoi B'choyle Shel Moed. A Hedyot, which is an unskilled person, is allowed to sew in a regular way. You don't need to do it in an unusual fashion on Chol HaMoed. And since, as long as you're not a professional tailor, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, you see that sewing is something which is somewhat more lenient. And since it's somewhat more lenient on Chol HaMoed, then on Erev Pesach in the morning, anyone is allowed to sew, even the craftsmen, even those who are skilled, one's allowed to sew on Erev Pesach in the morning. Hasaporim Vakivsin, the barbers and the launderers, Shakein Abomim Bedinas Hayom, somebody who comes from overseas and arrives on Chol HaMoed, Vayetzim Ibeis Asurim, or somebody who just left prison on Chol HaMoed, Mesaprim, we give him a haircut, Mechapsin, and we wash his clothes, Becholei Shel Moed. We do this on Chol HaMoed. So you see that on Chol HaMoed is somewhat lenient regarding washing clothes and giving a haircut, so too on Erev Pesach in the morning, this is allowed. Rabbi Yosi Ber Yehuda says that you're even allowed to go to somebody to make new shoes for you. The people who would walk up to Yerushalayim and do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, if something would happen to their shoes, they would have to be fixed, even on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, they can't walk. And since one's allowed to fix shoes on Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to go to a shoemaker and make new shoes. But the Chachomim didn't say that. The Chachomim didn't say you're allowed to go to a shoemaker and make new shoes. So what are they arguing about? But Maiko Mifligi, Marasov Rabbi Yosi holds, Lemeidim Tchilas Melocha Misoif Melocha. Since the end of the Melocha, which means just repairing a shoe, is allowed on Chol HaMoed, and therefore also in the morning on Erev Pesach, so Rabbi Yosi says that we learn the end, which is just repairing a shoe, and that teaches us to the beginning of making a new shoe. Now, if you're allowed to repair a shoe, you're also allowed to manufacture a new shoe. Umar Sova, however, the Chachamim say no. And it's true that you're allowed to fix your shoes, but you're not allowed to manufacture new shoes, and therefore the Chachamim say you're not allowed to go to the Ratzonin, which are those who manufacture new shoes, on Erev Pesach in the morning. Continues the next Mishnah. And we're continuing with different types of activities that are allowed on Chol HaMoed and on Erev Pesach in the morning, even in places where the custom was not to do other work on Erev Pesach in the morning. Moishivin, one is allowed to place shoivchin eggs l'tarnagoylim to the hens, under the hens, so that the hens should sit on the eggs in order that they can hatch. B'yud dalid, and you're allowed to do that on the 14th in the morning, even in a place where doing an activity, other activities are also. V'tarnagoylis sheborcha, a hen that escaped, that ran away, she was sitting on top of the eggs, and now she's gone away. And if we wait too long, the hen will cool down and will not want to sit on the eggs anymore. The eggs would get ruined. Machzir noisal mekoimo, you're allowed to return the hen and put it back on top of the eggs. V'immesa, if that particular hen that was on top of the eggs, warming them up for them to hatch, died, meshivin acheres tachter, then you can put another hen on top of the eggs. Continues the Mishnah, goyrfin, you're allowed to clear away mitachas raglei behema. If you have dung in between the feet of the animals, one's allowed to clear them away and remove the dung altogether from the stable, but you dalid on Erev Pesach in the morning. Ubamoyed, however, on Chol HaMoed, that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are that little bit more stringent than those of Erev Pesach in the morning, Mesalkin Nitzdodim, we just move them, we move the dung to the sides of the stable, we don't do any excessive exertion, we don't do any unnecessary labor on Chol HaMoed, and therefore we do not actually allow a person to remove the dung out of the stable, but he's allowed to move it to the sides. Continues the Mishnah, Meilichin Kelim, one's allowed to take utensils, Umevien, and if one had already brought in utensils, and the utensils are now with the craftsman, Umevien, one's allowed to go and fetch them and retrieve them, Mebeisa Uman, from the home of the craftsman, Afal Pisha Einam L'Tzerich HaMoed, even though you don't need these utensils on Chol HaMoed, one is allowed to take the utensils to the craftsman or retrieve them from the craftsman on Chol HaMoed or on Erev Pesach. We'll soon see in the Gemara the details, but that's the basic reading of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hashta Aisuvei Moisvinon Ahadura Miboya. What does it say at the beginning of the Mishnah? It says you're allowed to be Moishivin, you're allowed to place a hen onto the eggs, or you're allowed to place the eggs under the hen on the 14th on Erev Pesach, and if the hen ran away, you're allowed to bring it back. Well, of course, if you're allowed to put the hen there in the first place, you're allowed to bring it back if it ran away. It's not necessary to say that. The Gemara says, Hashta Yisuvei Moisvinon, if I'm allowed to place the hen on top of the eggs in the first place, Adura Miboya, then it goes without saying that if the hen runs away, that I can put it back. Says the Gemara, no. Omar Abaya, Seifa Oson L'choiloi Shel Moed. On Erev Pesach in the morning, you're also allowed to place the hens, and you're also allowed to, if it ran away, you're obviously allowed to replace the hen. However, on Chol HaMoed, where the halachas are more stringent, you're allowed to replace the hen on top of the eggs if the hen was there before. Because now that the hen was there already, the eggs are going to get ruined if you don't put the chicken back, the hen back. However, to put the hen there in the first place, that is not something you should do on Chol HaMoed. It's that little bit more exertion than we want you to do on Chol HaMoed, and it's not such a big loss if you don't do it, because it's true that it won't hatch into a chicken, but at least the eggs are edible, you can take them and eat them. Omar Rav Huna said, Lo yishanu elo toich shleisha. When are you allowed to return the hen onto the eggs? It's only toich shleisha lemerda, if it's within 3 days from when the chicken actually ran away from the egg, from its flight. Da'akati lo yiporach tzimra minei, that the heat of the chicken, of the hen, and its desire to sit on top of the eggs have not yet left from the hen, then you're allowed to put the hen back. And also va'acha shloisha yeshivasa, and on condition that the hen has already sat on the egg for at least 3 days. The pseidu lo beya legamri, after 3 days that the hen has sat on the eggs, it's completely not edible anymore. The only thing that will ever come out of this egg is another chicken, another chick, and therefore if you don't put the hen on it, you've lost it. It's a dover ovud, it's a financial loss. You're allowed to put it back on condition that it's within 3 days. But after 3 days from when the hen has run away from the egg, the porach lo tzimra mino, that the heat has already left the chicken, she's not anymore so easily willing to sit on the egg, and it takes much more exertion to get the hen to go back to the egg, that's not allowed. And also, if it's within 3 days from when the hen started sitting on the egg, you're not allowed to put the chicken back, because it's not the egg itself has not yet gotten completely ruined. It's true that as soon as the chicken sits on the egg, it's already not comfortable for everybody to eat it. Some people won't want to eat it anymore. But those other people who are not so squeamish, they won't mind eating this egg. It's not such a big hefsed, loimad rinon, we don't put the hen back on the egg. Rabbi Ami Omar, afilu toich shleisha liyishivosa madrinon. Rabbi Ami says that even if it's within 3 days from when the hen sat on these eggs, you're allowed to put the hen back. P'mayik miflegi. What's the argument between Rav Huna and Rav Ami, that Rav Huna says you're only allowed to put the hen back after 3 days that it's already been sitting there, and Rav Ami says even within 3 days? Marosov al hefsud maruba. The Rav Huna holds that we're only concerned if there's a substantial loss. And the Hefsed Mu'ad, if it's just a minimal loss, they were not concerned. And since within the first 3 days, there is minimal loss, because an average person may not want to buy this egg, but you will get those few people who won't mind buying it, and they'll buy it for a cheaper price, it's a minimal loss. That's not good enough reason to allow you to exert yourself on Chol HaMoed and put the hen back. Umar Sova, however, of Ami holds, Lehefsed Mut, Nami Choshishu. As soon as the hen has started sitting on the egg, it's already a certain amount of loss, minimal loss, but some loss is already there, because the average person or those more squeamish people will not want to buy the egg, and therefore there's that minimal loss. And in order to avoid that, we say, put the hen back on the egg, let it stay there, and let it develop into a chick. And it's apparent in the Mefaroshim that this whole discussion we just had now with Rav Huna and Rav Ami was all regarding Chol HaMoed. That we said before that Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to put the hen on the eggs to start with, but if they were there, you're allowed to put the hen back on. And then we had this whole discussion, Rav Huna and Rav Ami, was only regarding Chol HaMoed, not regarding the Erev Pesach in the morning. Continues the Gemara. Gerufin mitachas. We saw in the Mishnah that one is allowed to clear away the dung from between the legs of the animals. B'yudalet, on Erev Pesach in the morning, you are allowed to totally clear away and remove the dung from out of the to outside the stable, but on Chol HaMoed you're only allowed to move it to the sides but not remove it from the stable. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hazevel Shebechotza, the dung in the courtyard, Mesalkinoy Seilitzdodim, you're allowed to just move it to the sides. sheberefes v'shebechotzer. If there's dung either in a stable or in the courtyard, you're even allowed to remove it entirely from the area and take it to the dung heap. And obviously, there's a contradiction. First, you say that from a courtyard, from a zevel shebechotzer, is only move it to the sides, and then you say that sheberefes v'shebechotzer, again mentioning the courtyard, that you're actually allowed to remove it completely. The Gemara is going to address that. Ha'guf v'kashya. Omrus zevel shebechotzer masalkin oisei litzdodim. First, you say that the dung in the courtyard, you're allowed to just move it to the sides, but you're not allowed to exert yourself excessively to take out the dung entirely. And then you say, and then you say that if it's from the stable or from the courtyards, you're allowed to remove it entirely to the dung heap. Omar Abayloi Kasha Kan be your dalad, Kan be cholish el moed. Abaya says that again it depends on when we're talking about. If it's on Erev Pesach in the morning, which is more lenient than Chol HaMoed, you can remove it altogether. However, on Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to move it to the sides, but you're not allowed to exert yourself excessively. Tircha Yiseira, Tirach Godel is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. Rava Omar. Rava says, no, Ha v'ha b'cholei shel moed. It could be that both are referring to Chol HaMoed. V'achi komar, and this is how we have to read the Braisa. Im nase chotzer karefes, then mitzino yisei le'ashba. So when it says hazevel shebechotzer, the dung in the courtyards, you just move it to the sides, that's initially. Sheberefes v'shebechotzer, from a stable, or if a chotzer becomes like a stable that gets totally full of dung and it's inappropriate, there's nowhere to move it to the sides anymore, then even on Chol HaMoed, says Rava, you're allowed to remove the dung entirely. Im nase chotzer karefes, if the courtyard becomes like a stable, mitzino yisei le'ashpo, you can remove the dung to the dung heap. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that you're allowed to take vessels to the craftsman and retrieve them, bring them back, fetch them from the craftsman, even though you don't need it for Yom Tov itself, you're allowed to do that. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa said, Bodiklon Rava. Rava wanted to test us, so he asked us an apparent contradiction between our Mishnah here in Psachim and another Mishnah in Moed Katan. Here it says, in our Mishnah, Moilichin umivin keilim mibeisa umen afal pishenu tzerich lamoed. Over here it says, you're allowed to take utensils to and from the craftsman, even though you don't need it for Yom Tov. Uraminu, this seems to contradict the Mishnah in Moed Katan. Over there it says, You should not retrieve your vessels, your utensils from the craftsman because you don't need it on Yom Tov. So it's a contradiction. And then over there, it happens to be the Mishnah gives us a few more details. V'im choshesh lohen, if he's concerned for his utensils, shema yignavu, that they may get stolen from the home of the craftsman, then you're allowed to retrieve it and take it away from the craftsman, but you're not allowed to go into the effort of bringing it all the way home. Just remove it, mefanon l'chotzer acheres. Then just take the utensils and put it into some courtyard nearby where they will be safe. Don't bring them all the way home. So that is what Rava says of Papa. Rava tested them by asking them this contradiction. Are you allowed to go and retrieve your utensils if you don't need them for Yom Tov or not? Umashaninon, says Rav Papa, we answered Rava as follows. Loi kasha. Kan bar ba'osa. Again, there's a difference between whether we're talking about Erev Pesach in the morning or whether we're talking about Chol HaMoed. When it says in our Mishnah that you're allowed to go and retrieve your kelim and take them home, it's talking about Erev Pesach in the morning. Kan b'choylu shel moed. But in the Mishnah in Moed Katan, where it says there that Ein mevi'in kelim mibeisa uman, you should not retrieve the utensils from the home of the craftsman, is talking about a choylu shel moed on Chol HaMoed. And again, to take the utensils all the way home is exerting excessive, is more exertion than we are comfortable with you doing on Chol HaMoed, and therefore it's osa. Another suggested answer. Both Mishnayos could be talking about Chol HaMoed. Nonetheless, there's some cases where you shouldn't do anything, leave it by the craftsman. And there's some cases where you're allowed to try and, or you're supposed to take it from the craftsman and take it from him first to a home nearby, as we'll see. Kan b'ma'aminoi, kan b'she'enei ma'aminoi. In the case where you trust the craftsman, that number one, he's not going to sell it to anyone else. Number two, if you've already paid him for his work, you're not afraid that when you come after Yom Tov to fetch the utensils, he's going to charge you again. If you trust him, leave the kelim there. It's Chol HaMoed. Why go into the effort and exertion of bringing the kelim home? Kan b'she'enu ma'aminu. However, if you don't trust him, you're allowed to take it away from him. Take it from him. Put it into a courtyard nearby. If that's sufficient, v'hotanya, and proof to this, that there's a difference between whether you trust the craftsman or not, is from the following braisa. It says in the braisa, mivin kelim mibeisa uman, you're allowed to bring your kelim, your utensils, your objects from a craftsman's home, kegoin hakad mibeis hakador, for example, your pitcher from the potter's house, you need that on Yom Tov, v'akois and your goblet mibeis hazagog, from the glassmaker, but not the wool from the dyer, from the home of the one that's dyeing it, and not your utensils from the craftsman. If the craftsman doesn't have what to eat for Yom Tov and he needs to be paid, he needs money, pay him for his wages, pay him what you owe him, but leave your kelim there, you don't need them on Yom Tov. And this is what the braisa we're trying to bring from this braisa. If you don't trust him, then manichon bebeisa samuchloi. First and foremost, you can protect your utensils, remove them from his home, and put them in a home nearby. Why go into the effort of bringing them home if you don't need them? If you're afraid they're going to be stolen, not only are they going to, do not trust the craftsman, but even in the home, in the courtyard nearby the craftsman, you also don't feel safe with your utensils there, then in a concealed fashion, not everyone should see you doing this on Chol HaMoed, it's inappropriate, but you can bring your utensils home in order to protect them. Continues the Gemara, the apparent contradiction, whether you're allowed to retrieve your utensils, then you answered that very well in your second explanation. Our Mishnah says that you are allowed to, is referring to if you don't trust him. And the Mishnah in Moed Katan that says that you should not retrieve them is talking about where you do trust the craftsman. But how are you going to explain the contradiction about whether you're allowed to take your utensils to the craftsman? Moilichin kashya. In our Mishnah it says you're allowed to take the utensils to the craftsman, and in the Mishnah in Moed Katan it says you're not even allowed to retrieve them, so of course you're not allowed to take them to the craftsman. Diktoni ein mevin. In the Mishnah in Moed Katan it says you're not allowed to retrieve your kelim, kolchkein dein moilichin, all the more so you're not allowed to takes the kelim to the craftsman to start with. How are you going to explain that contradiction? You can't say here, trusting, not trusting, that's all very good when it comes to retrieving them, but giving it to the craftsman, how are you going to answer that? It must be that the real answer to this contradiction is the initial answer that was given, that the difference is whether we're talking about Erev Pesach in the morning, which is more lenient, and that's our Mishnah that says that on Erev Pesach in the morning, you can either take your utensils to the craftsman or bring them back, and we're allowed to do that. And the Mishnah in Moed Katan is talking about Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is more stringent, and on Chol HaMoed, you should neither take your utensils to the craftsman nor bring them back, because you don't need it for Yom Tov, and it's more effort than you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah from here.